Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is, well, technically we're not together because you are in Canada, where the temperature is probably, what is it in Celsius?
It's like the frozen,
400 degrees below
it's
zero in Celsius.
Frozen tundra, yes.
It's a frozen tundra.
It is cold.
And I am actually in Hawaii.
Suffering for
where,
Jesus.
On the Celsius scale, it's probably like 68 degrees or something.
No way, dude. You don't know your Celsius in Fahrenheit.
I know my Celsius. It'll be 30s. Yeah, I know my Celsius. I'm trying to be funny.
Well, you didn't sound funny, so.
No. I know. Because I had to learn when I'd set the air conditioner when I was in Australia. I had to learn that, you know, what degree... when you want to get, because I want my temperature at 72 degrees, which is 22 degrees Celsius. See? Are you surprised I knew that?
No, because you probably just Googled that. So,
no, I didn't. I know that. And you get into your, by the time you get into the 90s, it's like 32 degrees Celsius,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's about 30s. Yep. That's right.
See, I can speak like I'm everywhere else in the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are you doing in Hawaii?
I am preaching for Wayne Cordero this weekend, and then I'm teaching a class while we're here with some pastors who are in our graduate program as well. So it'd be fun to be at with Wayne. Wayne's actually going to be talking to class. I'm going to be talking to his church, so we're sort of trading some of that. So it'd be the Sunday that after people listen to this podcast. Of course, I don't know. People listen to podcasts anytime they want to,
yeah,
so who knows?
True.
They could be listening to this in 2017 for that matter.
Well, that's great. That's great. And, you know, considering the fact that we both preach on a regular basis, this question that's come in is a longer question. And talking about Australia, the guy's actually a Aussie that sent this in. And it's a long question, but we're going to, instead of cutting it out, we're actually going to play the whole thing because it gives some good context to what we're going to be or how we're going to be able to answer the question. All right.
Okay.
So here it is.
Yeah, g'day guys, Ben from Australia here. I just had a question in regards to the 70-20-10 adult learning principle. And my simple question is, how do we make the church more practical, and how do we make it flip from that 70% to the 10%, especially in regards to the actual service itself? Now, the reason I'm asking that question is I came from a blue-collar background. I'm a very practical person and a practical thinker. And now I'm pastoring a church in an area that is full of blue-collar workers. I think there is a 8% level, 8% of the population have college education. So that means that 92% don't. And these 92% are practical blue-collar workers who like to think and to act and to serve with their hands more than they would if you ask them to meet up for coffee. That would terrify them. But if you ask them to go to a sporting event and talk with them shoulder to shoulder, or even ask them to paint the house and you help them, then that would be the best way to kind of gather those conversations. However, when I look at the church service and getting someone to come along to that, it's almost a complete offense, I think, in many ways. You start off by singing songs and emotion-filled love songs, and the real manly man doesn't really like to show their emotions, let alone sing love songs. And then you need to ask them to sit through a 30-minute talk, a lecture that they haven't done since high school. And then, of course, the height of it all is relationships face-to-face, which pretty much terrify people or particular people in this demographic. So I'm just trying to think through about how do we apply the 70-20-10 principle, especially in regards to the church service, to make it a way that everyone can use their gifts, that the blue-collar worker could come and serve practically, as well as to hear and to learn about Jesus in this church platform? Or is there not a place for this? And is it something that really just needs to be the focus of throughout the week? And then if that's the goal throughout the week, to lead people to Jesus through these relationships working shoulder to shoulder, then there's the goal then to turn them around and get them into the church service. Yeah, just some thoughts that if you guys could speak any clarity into, that'd be great. Thanks.
Awesome. So with this principle, and if you're not familiar with it, I write about it in No Silver Bullets through just the whole idea of the 70
silver bullets.
Thank you. I think you succeeded in making people say it's the silver bullet book. So
it
thank
is.
You.
They got
thank
five you, great silver. You know, if you don't want to miss the silver bullets in that book, they're great.
All right. So in the book, I talk about this 70-20-10 principle. It's a adult education principle. And it's interesting how Ben asks this question, because I've been asked it a bunch of times in regards to how it relates to Sunday morning. And really, when I wrote the principle out and talked about it through the context of discipleship and leadership development in the church, the whole principle was supposed to be, it was oriented toward midweek rather than the Sunday morning typical church service. So just really quickly, 70%, the principle basically states that 70% of the learning that we do is by doing. So that's about, you know, on the job, trial and error. And then 20% of our learning is through receiving informal feedback from others, or even through like formal coaching, mentoring relationships. And so it's that learning by interaction. And then the last 10% that we of how we learn is by listening. So conferences, seminars, classes, courses, formal education. So the whole principle states that the majority of the way that we learn, the primary way that we learn, is actually more by doing and interaction than by listening. So coming back to Ben's question, he's saying, okay, well, in light of that, if every time we meet on Sunday morning and we gather, it's primarily listening, what does this have to say about our church services? Are we doing it wrong? Are people actually learning? So that's the frame of this question. And I'll just answer it the way that I've typically answered it up until this point, and then we can wrestle back and forth with it, Ed. Basically, up until now, the way that I've answered
like
it is, you're
going to change your mind like right now. You're saying like,
no, I could. I
so up yeah, until this because, moment.
Yeah, up until this moment, yes. 10% of the way that we learn is still by listening. So there still is an important piece of learning that comes through listening. It's not saying that 70 and 20 is more effective. It's just saying that most of our learning comes through there, but there still is a portion of our learning that requires listening. And that's primarily new knowledge, new concepts. And so that's why education, classroom education, sermon, preaching, you know, all of that is, there's a role for all of that because we're learning something new, but then we need to interact with it, right? We need to actually process it and internalize it, which is more the doing and the interaction, but we still need to listen. And when it comes to a Sunday, when it comes to a church service, there's just something unique and powerful about the word of God being preached. I mean, we read about that in the scriptures, right? There's just that important part. So that's why up until this point, right now, I still am not convinced that we need to get away with that, because there is that biblical role for the exhortation.
But it sounds like you're like right on the cusp of changing your mind. You say up until this point, like what? Is my answer going to like cause you to throw out the Bible and say, we don't need that anymore?
No, I think there are definitely other means in which and other ways that we can do Sunday morning and that typical church service.
Should we all form like a drum circle, or what are you thinking? I mean, I'm for drum circles. I think they could be fascinating.
Yeah. So, Ed, you want me to keep going?
Well, I guess.
I'm sure you want to talk.
No, I don't really, you know, I mean, again, if you 7-20-10, which is, I'm glad you explained it, because most people would be unfamiliar with it. It's a relatively new idea. But the idea is, I don't find this contrary. I mean, even as he was asking the question, he was kind of giving the answer. He was talking about these blue collar, I think he talked about blue collar men. And so I don't think that their discipleship training is in totality described by, you know, if you use the 7-20-10, the 10% is coursework and training. But you made a theological case, but I agree 100% with what you said, but I don't even think you have to make a theological case. I think that the Christian life, it's good to have some time together to worship the Lord, to learn how to do that and why that matters, and to study the Bible, so that then you could live it out. You know, the 70% is from, they call it like challenging assignments. So, but that's like life on life. So that was kind of what he was describing. So I do think when you're serving the poor or you're ministering to the neighbor or you're building relationships at work or you're sharing the gospel with your family, that those are the ways that you learn. And I think his concern is right. I think if our Christian experience largely boiled down to people sitting in a room singing and listening to a speaker, then that would be problematic. But I think even as he was answering it, it sounded like my church or your church, and where people are getting together during the week and are serving the Lord in different ways. And you know, in the 7-20-10 principle, it's sort of, I don't know that those numbers would line up in church life, because I don't think that there are like as much challenging assignments, though your daily walk with the Lord certainly would be that. But, you know, the 20 is developmental relationships. And I definitely would think that would be, most people in church life, in my experience, spend more time in relationships than they do in a worship service if they're engaged and involved in the church. So I think we 100% agree with him. And I think what he described is what he's trying to do is actually what I think most churches are trying to do. I think most churches would regret. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's not true. Most churches that you and I would hang around with, or people who would listen to the New Churches podcast, would reject the idea of church as some sort of transactional gathering where you sing this way and then Bible's taught this way, and that's the totality of life on life. I think there are churches like that. And, you know, churches like, you know, you have to be careful. A big church like Moody Church can be like that if you're not careful. But even Moody Church, which is, you know, 150 years old, the oldest extant megachurch in the world, with, you know, all 3,700 seats, we spend a lot of time and energy to make sure people don't see that 10% of that experience as we have small groups and communities. We have things before and after church. And so I guess I'm saying, I agree with everything he said. I think I just rewind it. But what he's describing is what we'd all want, which is we'd want more of the 20 and the 70 that flow, but we wouldn't want to do that at the expense of eliminating the 10. And if it was just the 10, we'd say you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing that he's pushing against is, I agree, it's probably most of what people are trying to push against is this passive consumeristic approach to church. Right. So if there are obviously people in all churches, and the larger the church is, the more you're going to have that, where people are just, I mean, the totality of their Christian life is the 10% on the once or twice a month that they attend a church service. Right. And then you obviously have some people who might even join a life group or a small group and be a part of that 20%, but they're not doing anything out of that. So when it comes to the life of your church, the important thing is that you have the 70, you have the 20, and you have the 10. It's not one in exclusion of the others. So even when it comes to your 10% gatherings, right? So because he hammered down a little bit on the weekend service idea. So even that, what does it look like within that gathering to have expressions of the 20 and have expressions of the 70%? So for example, we finished up a sermon series. It was a 5-week sermon series for us. And at the end of it, I invited the congregation to come forward and to actually physically respond by writing their regrets down and ripping it up and putting in this bucket, or by doing that, or by writing their name and saying, I have committed to start over. We use the Dave and John Ferguson. They wrote this book called Starting Over. And
I hate those
guys.
So
we use that. They're I know, right? They're the worst ever. So we used that material, and it was so powerful. To at the end of that last message, we had two songs that we sung, and during that first song, I mean, we just saw hundreds and hundreds of people each service come to the front, move, and physically respond. Right. And just by doing acts like that, and that's obviously it's kind of like an altar call, and most churches have some expressions of that. But that is that expression of the, hey, you actually need to actively participate now. That's that 70%. Now within a classroom setting, within a leadership development setting, when it comes to developing your leaders and raising them up, even as something as simple as an usher, training an usher, 70-20-10. Hey, instead of giving them 70% of knowledge to sit and, you know, sit and, because we often in our churches flip it around, right? We often say, hey, here's 70% content, sit and learn, 20% we'll talk about it, and now 10% you do it. Instead of doing that, what if actually we flip that around and gave them the just-in-time training and knowledge they need, and then you interact with it, and then they go and do it. And actually, that learning, experiential learning, allow people to grow through that within the church context. So that's a little bit more of how I would apply this.
Yeah, and I think your occasional, like you did that special thing at your service, which I think is great and fine. I think that that's generally occasional, or else it becomes gimmicky. So I think for me, completely, I would say in the midst of it, and I'm for what you did. You know, we've done the things where people hold up the cards, and I think that's great. I'm having this Sunday, we had people come up and put cards and pray. But here's what I would say. I think that there's still a place and space to say, and I'm not hearing him saying otherwise, but to say, you know, Jesus didn't leave us artistic renderings of the Christian life. He didn't leave us, I don't know, paintings or drawings. The Holy Spirit inspired words, and words have meaning and can have meaning and do have meaning. And then we're called to teach that and teach those words. So I think there's still, I'm not saying that the caller would disagree. The caller, listen, I'm going to radio show mode. Sorry, I have a call in radio show. I don't think the caller, but I don't think he would disagree. Maybe, I don't know. But I would say that I recognize that that's not the 80%. I recognize that that's the 10%, but it's a really important 10%. And I want to do it well, not to the place where the preaching is the only thing that matters, but preaching does deeply matter.
Yeah, completely. So there you go. You haven't, or I haven't changed my mind.
Yes, you just felt like you're on the precipice of like, oh, that's it, I'm done.
Hey, I'm fine, yeah.
All this time, this question changed my mind.
Yeah, so that's...
Yep.
No, and that's all from chapter 2 of No Silver Bullets.
So that's the second of the 5 silver bullets?
Yeah. Oh, Ed, I love you.
I love the fact it actually has stuck. I mean, people say to me, they'll call it 5 silver bullets. I mean, people, oh, I love Daniel's book, 5 silver bullets. And I says, mission accomplished.
All right. Well, I hope you don't come up with some gimmicky
thing
for my next one. So we can, it's
you're not gonna tell.
I'm not even going to bring it up. All right. Thanks again for listening in.
Is it Group the Answers 6th podcast. Silver bullet? You know, didn't John Maxwell have those 21 irrefutable laws of leadership? And then he's like, I got a 22nd irrefutable law of leadership. That's like, you got the 6th silver bullet.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. One of my daughters was like, Daddy, please, please, please name your next book. No,
oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You got a smart kid. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in. Check out the Group Answers podcast with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel as well. They're a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, and we will catch you next time.